Welcome to the Student Continuity Learning Program, an educational learning series for students designed and made possible by the Ministry of Education and Human Resources Development of Solomon Islands.
Hello and welcome back, Form 6 students across the country. I am Sonia Basile from the Ministry of Education and Human Resource Department in the Teaching and Learning Division for our next radio program. Our program today is a continuation of the first session last week on the integrated curriculum for history, geography, and development studies on the topic population and urbanization, particularly on the task entitled Study of Population Change and Urbanization. Last week, in our first session, I have given you the hypothesis with three sub-questions to get you started thinking about the research task that you will be doing in your area or community. Also, if you have remembered well from our last session, I have mentioned that I would be giving out the task's instruction when we meet again for the next session. So, in today's program, there are going to be two parts that I will talk about regarding this research activity. In the first part, there are two important things that you will learn about the research task. The first important one is the instructions or guideline on how you can conduct the research activity on this topic, study of population and urbanization in your area. The second important thing is how you can present your report of the findings in a written form. Now, for the second part of this program is our learning activity. I will go through the research task hypothesis and the three sub-questions that you will be going to base your research on. All right, before we start, I'd like to check if you have your pen and notebook with you so that you are ready to take notes. Okay, are you ready? Right, let's move on. The first part of this program, as I've briefly introduced earlier, is on two important things that you should know as you carry out your research. The first one is instructions or guide on how to conduct a research. In order for you to conduct your research task successfully, it is important that you know the steps of how to do it. This guide is divided into three sections. The first section is gathering information. This referred to as the methodology of the research. It describes how information is gathered or data is collected. And there are six steps in this section that will guide you. 1. Identify area to investigate its population. You can choose your community, which is fine. 2. Observe the changes in the population and movement of people in the selected area. 3. Conduct interviews in the area. You can do this with elders and including your parents if they are living in the same area. 4. You can use questionnaires and give out to those whom you wanted to get the information from. Students who are shy sometimes use this technique for collecting data or gather information. Also, those that do not have time because they might have other important matters to attend to, use this technique as well. Fifth, record information you have gathered during your observation and interviews you have conducted. Six, collate and organizing the information or data under three sections. Your three subsections will be used as the three subheadings for the discussion section in the report later. Therefore, any information or data you have collected, you can organize them under each subheading. The second section is processing information. This is where the thinking skills will be applied on the information gathered or data collected. And there are four steps in this section. One, classify the information and data collected. Okay, so after you have gathered your information and collected the data, it is now time to choose what you think is important for arguing purpose. Two, analyze and interpret the data collected. Three, draw a table or construct a type of graph that you want. Example, line graph, bar graph, scatter graph, pie chart, or histogram, and apply conventions appropriate to the graph. Four, evaluate. After you have sorted out and organized your information and data, make generalizations on specific issue supporting with evidence and sound argument. The third section is presentation and communication. Present findings in a written form and communicate to others. Now that you have all your information and data organized, you have your results and findings ready to be presented. So let's look at the second important thing in this first part of the program, structure for presentation. All right, after you have done processing the information and data you have collected, like classifying and organizing them under the subheadings, you are now ready to communicate your findings in a written form or sometimes graphical form. Presenting a report of your findings in a written form is one of the requirements in the studies that you have undertaken. However, it is important to know that when writing a report of the findings, it follows a structure. So what does a structure of the written form look like? Okay, the structure of the written form must have these following features. One, introduction. Your introduction should have a bright and interesting introduction that able to hook the reader. Start with the fact, which isn't well known for the public. Provide some statistics or ask the arguable question. The second feature of this structure is methodology. Now, this is where you describe, discuss, evaluate the methods that you have used to collect data and gather information, as well as the processes that involve. The third feature of this structure is the main body. Your discussion on the findings will be done under the three subheadings from your three sub-questions which were given to you last week. Make sure your explanations are clear and concise, and your findings are well interpreted. Using short and simple sentences can be effective. The fourth feature is conclusion. Now, the final part of a research work should contain the brief summary of the results. Relate the findings to your hypothesis and make it clear for the reader how your findings can be helpful for other researchers who will conduct further investigation of the same topic.
This is the Student Continuity Learning Program, a radio learning series for students made possible by the Ministry of Education and Human Resources Development, MERD.
And now we've come to the second part in this program, learning activity. Your activity for this topic is a research on the population change and the movements of people in your area or community. The hypothesis statement that covers the topic of population and urbanization for this research task is factors that influence the population and movements of people. Your three sub-questions that are related to the overall hypothesis statement are: 1. What factors influences the population change and the movement of people in your area or community? The second sub-question is, how do these factors influence the change in the population and movement of people in your area or community? And the third sub-question is, what effect does this change in the population and movement of people has on your area or community? These are the questions that you will base your research. You can also use them as subheadings where you discuss your findings in the written form of the report. To carry out this research successfully, follow the instructions that we have gone through in the first part of this program. Here are some advices that you may want to consider as you begin your research activity. 1. You may want to work with a friend in your area who is also doing the same course like you. 2. Select 5 people in your area that you will interview: a parent, an elder in your area, a church leader, or someone whom you know have been living in the area longer. 3. When you do the interview, for reference purpose, it is important that you record their names, the place you conduct the interview, the date and time. 4. All your notes must be recorded in a journal or logbook. By having your notes and ideas recorded in a journal or a logbook will help you to organize later for your discussion in the report or as you communicate your findings to someone. 5. You have a week to do this activity, so you can start thinking about allocating your days. For example, there are 7 days in a week. So you plan for 3 days to do gathering information, 2 days for process information, and 2 days for writing up your report on the findings. Sixth, when developing your questionnaire, write questions under each sub-question. 4 to 5 questions should be sufficient. To our good parents and guidance, please provide support to our children or your child by answering some questions that he or she has. Or if you can help to discuss and develop the questions or ask someone else to assist. Talking about the possible questions helps your child to understand how to begin and do the task. To conclude, I will repeat the research hypothesis statement and the 3 sub-questions again. For the hypothesis, factors that influence the population change and movement of people in your area. The 3 sub-questions are 1. What factors influences the population change and the movement of people in your area? Second sub-question, how do these factors influence the change in the population and movement of people in your area or community? Third sub-question, what effect does this change in the population and movement of people has on your area or community? Thank you very much, students, for listening and being patient throughout this radio program. I do hope you have learned a lot today. Once again, I am Sonia Basilev from the Teaching and Learning Department in the Ministry of Education and Human Resource Development. I'm looking forward to meet you again in my next radio program. Wishing you a great and safe weekend. Goodbye.
That has been the Student Continuity Learning Program, an educational learning series for students designed and made possible by the Ministry of Education and Human Resources Development of Solomon Islands.